Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Niche, want to unlock some new shows or see the return of some old favorites? Then now's the time to head to jointhenaish.com. During the first ever GCN Niche Rally, we live streamed an entire weekend of games to help grow the network and work towards some of our short and long-term goals. Thanks to you, we've already unlocked a new season of The One Ring and some more Star Wars content. But the rally didn't end when the stream stopped. The remaining goals are still alive, and you can help us unlock them in the weeks and months ahead. Do you want a new season of Voyagers of the Jump? Do you want back-to-back seasons of Getting the Trunk instead of just one this year? Maybe a return to Duskfall in a third season of Haunted City? Or maybe an all-new sci-fi horror series featuring Mothership. It all starts at jointhenaish.com. Here's how it works. Every new membership and every upgraded membership helps push these goals forward, but nothing accelerates our progress more than locking in an annual subscription. We are an independent, creator-owned entertainment company, so the shows you love exist because of your support. So if you want to help shape the future of the network, head to jointhenaish.com. Subscribe, upgrade, and or switch to annual today and help us unlock what's next.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Niche Rally, GCN Niche Rally. My name is Skidmar, and right now we're going to play a little bit of... We're going to old school right now. I've had enough of the new school stuff and all this newfangled nonsense. We don't need it. Of a certain age, we appreciate the old stuff. We're going to be playing advanced... certain of it, not necessarily everyone on the call. So we're going to be playing some advanced Dungeons & Dragons, mostly first edition, some second edition thrown in. And I'm joined by Alicia Marie. Hello, how are you? Jared Logan, Rob Kirkovich, Jason Charles Miller.
Hey.
Have you guys played advanced Dungeons & Dragons ever? Alicia,
not
ever
since
played?
I was 11.
I think I played like once.
Once.
I was so traumatized.
You said that it was a traumatic experience for it. We'll try to make this a little better. Rob, you've played.
I think I've only played 3.5. What's the one where the barbarian's like bashing the door open, but his hand's drawn all shitty?
There's so many. There's so many.
That sounds more like first edition, but
not being specific enough. I don't know. Whatever one was out when I was 14, 15. So okay. There you go.
I'm sure that probably third edition. I probably guess third edition. Yeah. And Jason, I know you've played.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Lots, that was aggressive.
That was like where I. That was. But see, I played very little, but I created so many characters.
Oh yeah.
I bought that like character sheet book where there was like a few for each kind, and like I just filled it with characters. But I lived in the woods with like the closest person to play any games with was like a mile away walking, and I had no car. So all I did was make characters all day long.
That's a lot of people. A lot of kids did that.
I was like 10 years old. So anyway, so I'm ready. This is one of the characters that I created back when I was like 10, but never got to play him. And today I get to play him.
Yes.
Very, yay, very excited for that.
They also, didn't they come out with like, because I had one of these where it was like, even before I ever played D&D, there was like a book I got that was like a Dungeons and Dragons. It was almost like a choose your own adventure, but you still had to like roll. It was like a Ravenloft thing.
Oh, yeah. They had those D&D choose your own adventure.
Yeah, and
books.
So I tried that, but then it was like Thaco this and Thaco that, and I was like, nope. And then we're gonna get into
it's
all
pronounced
that.
Thaco.
It is pronounced Thaco. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but we're gonna get into that.
Wow,
so
what
today,
a noob.
We're going to be playing Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. This is T1, the Village of Hamlet.
Yeah. Great.
So we're going to start off. You guys are there are some certain shortcomings to this adventure. This is the first ever published module for Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, written by Gary Gygax.
Whoa!
Wow!
Father of our friend of the show, Luke Gygax.
It's pronounced Gygax.
That's right. And
Jared, did you know that one?
So I did not know that it. No.
There you go.
So we're going to start off now. The adventure ordinarily starts with you arriving at the town, but we're going to have a reason for you guys to be traveling to Hamlet. You are a group of heroes, adventurers, who have been gathered together to serve as security for a caravan or a wagon load full of supplies that is going to the village of Hamlet. And if you'll look at my camera here.
I see me again.
There we go. You can see yourselves. Okay. So this is a map of the Flanaes, the original setting of Greyhawk. And you guys right now are west of the city of Verbabonk here in the center of the map. You are just past the north of the Iron Hills here, and you are heading towards the village of Hamlet. So you've been traveling with this wagon of merchants. It looks like they're carrying equipment, like building equipment of some kind. Mm-hmm. And you've been traveling with them for a couple of days. So who do we see in this collection of people traveling along the road? Alicia, what does your character look like?
Okay. Somehow I knew you were going to start with me, and I was worried because I was like, I see Steve looking at me. That's why I was like looking away, like, no, start with Jared. Okay. All right. I am, you see Sister Mercy Vale. She is a high elf wandering cleric. And I say wandering because she's been sort of ousted from the village she's from. She's a tall, wiry, high elf. She's wearing a long black gown, almost nun habit like, but over it she has splint mail. What is splint? It's splint mail.
Yeah, splint mail is like bands of metal sort of riveted onto a leather backing.
Okay, and that's it. And it's black and gold sort of gleaming. Her hair looks like a big wiry bird's nest, and she has these long, like, elf ears coming out of this wild hair. I had skid roll comeliness, because that's something I did not know was a stat.
Yes. This is an optional stat that was introduced in the Unearthed Arcana supplemental book that I happen to love. And comeliness. You got a bonus because you're a high elf, so you got a +2 bonus on this roll, and I happen to roll very well, so.
He rolled a 19. Yeah. So Skid said that Sister Mercy Vale, even though she's insane, is as beautiful as a rainbow made of waterfalls.
That's right. Those are my exact words.
Wow.
Yes, she is incredibly beautiful.
Yes.
And I'll actually read the description from Unearthed Arcana. This is for +18 to +21 comeliness. The beauty of the character will cause heads to turn and hearts to race. Reaction for initial contact is at a percent equal to 150% of the comeliness score. So it's like 60% something. Individuals of the opposite sex will be affected as if under a fascinate spell unless their wisdom exceeds 2/3 of the character's comeliness total.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Were were teenagers in the 80s and early 90s 10 times smarter than us? Or did they just not actually do all of this?
They didn't do it. Yes. They didn't actually go through most of this stuff.
Okay.
Because I thought it was like charisma related, but it's not really.
It actually is attached. It is attached to the charisma. It's modified by the charisma score, and your charisma is 14, so it's pretty good anyway. But anyway, so she's a very good looking cleric. What's your alignment, by the way, Sister Mercy Vale?
Her alignment is neutral good.
Okay, but I chose that for you, unless if you want to choose something different,
I think I'll keep neutral good because she means well, and she's not evil. It's just she's walked with death so often that people think she's evil.
Okay. Okay. All right, good to know. Okay. And then who do we see accompanying Sister Mercy Vale? Jared.
Yes, there is a human. He is a sort of a barrel-chested, maybe a little heavy, a gentleman, because I looked at his height and weight, and his weight was quite prodigious, but his height was not. So I think he's a big guy, bearded in, not finery, really, but business casual for the world of Greyhawk. He is bearing a staff, and he has some accoutrement that make you think that he is a scholar of some sort. Definitely a spell book kind of peeking out of his pack, maybe. And this is Thaddeus Mox. He is a human magic user. He is true neutral. I rolled true neutral.
Okay, and again, I chose that for you. If you would like to choose another alignment, you can.
No, I like that. I think he goes where the money is. I think that's exactly what his motivation is. And interestingly, in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, my strength is higher than my intelligence.
It is.
Magic user.
You're a burly wizard. So
sounds about
like
right.
A burly wizard. I am imagining like the guy from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, who plays Friar Tuck. Just a general Friar Tuck kind of a vibe, although, fine clothes. Not a monk's habit, but fine clothes and a staff. And that's who's huffing and puffing along beside the caravan.
Okay. And he's also pretty good looking. He has a 14 commonness score, so he's no slouch in the appearance department either.
Yes.
Okay. And then next to them, if you cast your gaze downwards about a foot, you see Rob's character. Rob, who do we see?
Yeah, you see two little points, and then as the camera kind of goes down further, you realize it's like a helmet with the two like Viking horns, classic green, kind of a vibrant green helmet, and then you scroll down, Jesus. You're on your laptop, and you then
you're witnessing the scene through your laptop.
You click on his face to zoom in, and he's got a big blondish beard, and he's got gray splint mail armor. He's a dwarf, and basically picture the dwarf from Golden Axe. That's who I'm imagining.
Okay,
perfect. The little green ones running around. He's got the battle axe. That's him. His name, because I asked my six-year-old what the name of my dwarf character should be, after explaining to him what a dwarf was in fantasy context, he said the name is Choppy.
So Choppy the dwarf.
I was like, he's got an axe. He's like, Choppy. He's like, you got
Choppy.
It.
That's perfect.
And that was 15 minutes ago. So that's Choppy. Okay. And Skid rolled my character as well, and apparently he rolled fire.
I rolled really, really well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you are a fighter. You have an 1850 strength, which is pretty good in AD&D.
Mm-hmm.
You're also not bad looking yourself. In fact, you're even better looking than Jared's character. You're sort of between Jared's character and Alicia's character on the physical appearance.
Yeah,
it's a good looking group.
And also, we're hot and we're neutral.
I hope the village of Hamlet. Yeah. I hope the village of Hamlet is ready for this jelly.
I don't know.
So wait,
man.
Are we the original Greyhawk influencers?
Yes.
Hot and neutral. Go where the money is.
Yeah.
We're
have no
maxing.
Morals.
Yeah, we're
lumber maxing in Greyhawk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then finally, bringing up the rear, we see
yes
Jason's character. Jason, who do we see?
Well, you see a human thief. He's long, he's lanky, he's decked out in the most simple leather armor possible. He is the quintessential thief from AD&D. A human thief, if we're sticking with our Robin Hood Prince of Thieves theme, because why not? He's more like Christian Slater's character.
Yes.
But not as good looking, because his comeliness is only 10. So he's kind of mid.
You're the plainest by far of the group.
And his wisdom is 6. So I would say that he's a simp to the sister. Because if I need two-thirds wisdom, my wisdom is friggin' 6. So I'm just literally her bodyguard. But I will say this. One thing about Bruce T. Coppermouth, if I didn't mention his name.
Oh, Coppermouth. I had Goldmouth.
Oh, Bruce T. Goldmouth. Yeah, no, sorry. Yes. No, I upgraded him. His name is Bruce T. Goldmouth. Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
One thing about old Bruce T. Goldmouth is that have wall, will climb. The great thing about AD&D thieves is, for some reason, and I need to ask Luke this one day, like all of your thieving skills are kind of really low, but for some reason, even at level 1, you can cling to a wall like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So if a wall needs to be climbed, I'm your man.
Yeah, you've got an 87% climb walls chance.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah 87%.
Yeah, I feel bad for any walls that try to stand in your way. So you're traveling through the countryside, and suddenly, from behind a pair of rocks and trees on one side and rocks on the other, 4 figures in leather armor spring out. And they say, "Hello there! Give us up with your precious things that you're carrying!" And they look incredibly sure of themselves.
Oh.
What do you guys want to do? Ooh. Now, you've been hired specifically to prevent stuff like this, I will point out.
Oh, I think that they've made a terrible mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, you never jump a bunch of hot, neutral people.
No.
What are you thinking?
Yeah.
I'll look at the others and say, "Time to earn our keep."
It's about time.
Okay. So,
all of a sudden, these look like 4 walls to climb.
Okay. So now we're going to roll for initiative, and we're going to do this in the old way.
The old way.
There are a few different methods that were introduced sort of incrementally over the course of AD&D's life, but we're going to use the original way. Each of our groups, you're going to nominate 1 person, and I'm going to roll. We'll roll a D10, and whoever gets the lowest result will go first, the whole group. So which of you would like to roll for initiative?
I'll roll.
Okay. Yes.
All right, 1D10, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
8.
I rolled a 3.
Uh-oh.
So the bandits will go first. Okay, so bandit number 1 looks like the leader. He like sees it and says, "How dare you stand up to us? We're bullies. We hate that." And he jumps over the rock with a short sword, and he is going to go after. He's going to go after Choppy. He's going to swing his sword and rolls a 3. He misses.
Ha-ha! Too short!
Bandit number 2 has a short spear. And he is going to go... He's going to leap after Bruce T. Goldmouth.
How dare he!
So your AC is 7?
7.
Is that right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a THACO of 20. So his target number is going to be his THACO minus your AC. So it's going to be 13. He's going to have to roll 13 or better on the die.
Oh, God.
And he rolls a 15.
No!
Okay. He stabs you for a mere 2 points of damage.
Okay.
Okay. Bandit number 3 jumps out from the trees and is going to jump at... Choppy again. He's going to need an 18 to hit you with your 2 AC.
Yep.
And he does hit you with a natural 18.
What an asshole.
5 points of damage. What does it look like? Yeah, it just like sticks his little sword between two of the splints in your mail.
My Achilles chest.
Okay, and then the final guy, he has a crossbow. He's going to fire at one of the spellcasters. He's going to fire at Thaddeus.
Okay.
So, and your AC is 10, is that right, Thaddeus?
That's right.
Okay, so he's going to need a 10 or better on the die. And he gets a natural 16.
Oh.
But only 1 point of damage.
Okay.
Okay. So now it is your turn, and you got... Now, so there are different... Again, there are different methods. There are methods of turn order that incorporate stuff like your weapon speed factor and casting time for spells, like all that. We're just doing the absolute base initiative. So you guys decide who wants to act in what order. That's all completely up to you.
Oh, so we just share the same slot, basically.
Yeah,
you all just... I can hit him with a magic missile.
Yeah. You can.
Yeah. Then, but then, if you do that... If you do that, you'll have no more spells for the rest of the play.
You're done for the session, I think.
Okay, yeah. This is the other slight change I'm going to make. I'm going to incorporate some of Shadow Dark's philosophy. So your first spell slot of the day, you automatically get that. You can fire off your magic missile. If you want to attempt it again before resting, you have to make a spell casting check. So you have it's just like Shadow Dark. So you have to roll a 10 plus the level of the spell, plus if you have a spellcasting modifier. Thaddeus, your modifier is 0 because your intelligence is 14. So if you wanted to cast it again without resting, you'd have to hit an 11 or higher on the die to attempt to do it.
Pretty good. That's 50-50 chance.
But this is free. This first one's free. As the
I'm
going to
take the
set.
First one for free. If nobody is opposed, I'm going to hit two of these guys with a magic missile.
What are you going to say?
Go after two different ones.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go... No, I'll take one out with two missiles.
Okay.
Try to take one out with two missiles.
What do you say when you cast it?
Yeah.
I say, the powers of the netherworld and planar primarchs, I call upon thee to smite my foes! Then I roll a d4 twice against the one that hit me, I think, is the one that I would go for.
Okay, that is the guy with the crossbow.
The tiniest sparkles come out of your fingers.
And I rolled a... Man, d4s are so fun. I rolled a 1 on the first.
This is your full level 1 magic user.
A 3.
Okay. That and then you add 2 to that, so that is a 6 total, and you kill him.
Whoa! Oh.
You kill the guy with the crossbow.
Yeah. Okay.
Never mess over with a magic user.
That'll teach him.
Yeah. Who wants to go next?
I actually wanted to ask if do we know what these burglars are? Like, are they skeletons or whites or zombies or ghouls?
No, they look like...
Did you think he wouldn't mention that? he was like, I hope they don't guess that they're skeletons.
they look awfully skinny to me.
They are flesh and bone. They look like they're all humans. They look like they're pretty rough. They rough and tumble. Like their armor, their gear is pretty scuffed.
There's a skeleton in there somewhere.
There is probably a skeleton underneath all of that. But
we
must
free them of their skeletons.
You might be dead. One is dead.
One's already dead. Yeah, you can check him.
All right. Can I just bless everyone then?
Yeah. Sure.
So, I don't know if we need it, but.
Yeah, you, Sister Mercy Vale casts Bless, and so that will give each of you a +1 to your rolls to hit for the rest of the combat.
When she casts Bless, you can tell that she's casting it because she starts praying backwards.
Oh,
whoa.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Who do you think Sister Mercy, who does she worship, do you think?
Who does she worship?
Yeah.
Our heavenly risen Savior, Jesus Christ.
It could, I mean, you could be Christian. I was actually, my character was Christian in the game that I played.
She worships a nun that she is an exalted nun at the convent that she came from.
Oh,
and
okay.
Her teachings, and one thing that she always told her is never trust someone who offers you soup underground. And that just stuck with her throughout her life.
Wow. Okay. That is a very good specific
advice. That would have stuck with me too.
Yeah, I would never forget that. I probably never will forget that.
Bruce T. Goldmouth is very conflicted because Underdark soup is his favorite meal.
Oh, man.
But he won't ever reveal that to Sister Mercy Vale, of course.
Well, these are the kind of sacrifices people have to make for their faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So who, we have two of you left. Who will act?
I'll go, if that's okay. All right, JCM.
Sure.
I feel like, yeah, the magic missile lights that one guy up. He's like, ugh! And as he's sinking and suddenly this bless effect comes out, you see the dwarf, like, jump off the guy that's falling down and then brings an axe down on one of the guys that attacked him.
Okay. So there's two guys with short swords and a guy with a spear.
A short sword guy.
Okay, go after the short sword guy. Okay.
And then he's got...
So, Roll a 20-sided die.
Oh, yeah.
Your Thaco is your third-level fighter, so your Thaco is 18. His AC is 8, so you're going to have to roll a 10 or better on the 20-sided die.
Okay, and I have a plus 2, I think, because I have a plus 1 to hit already, and then I have the bless, right?
Yeah, you have a plus 1 from your strength and the bless, so you add 2 to your die.
But what if his sword's speed factor?
Well, we're not getting into that.
It doesn't. I rolled a 2. So it's going to be maybe it goes right between them.
Oh, no, it's a miss. Okay.
Oh, crap.
Bruce, it's up to you.
All right, Bruce goes to the leader.
Okay.
And steps right up to him and tries to stab him with his short sword.
Okay.
So I'm seeing all sorts of adjusted things on my... It is a minefield, a veritable minefield.
It's a hell
minefield.
Of a sheet, these character sheets.
Yes,
they are. Modeled like the old ones, probably the ones that you used to use.
Yeah, look, very much so. But what I'm saying is, there's like, depending on which armor class I'm trying to hit, I get pluses or minuses.
That. Oh, okay. That's auto calculated.
Generated.
No one uses those. The adjusted hit to armor class, no one ever uses that. Don't worry about it.
Very well, then.
So your Thaco is 20. His AC is 7. So you're going to need a 13. Well, actually, with the plus 1 from the bless, a 12 or better on the die.
12 or better. 16.
Okay, that's a hit.
There it is.
Right. So with the short sword, that would be a 1d6.
Yep.
I'm assuming no pluses or anything?
No.
This is AD&D. 4. I get a 4. That probably kills him.
Ah, no, he's still because he went after the leader. He's still alive.
Oh, that's true. But I whisper into his ear and I say, "You're not getting anywhere. This is your last day on Oerth."
Okay,
right? Because aren't we on Oerth?
Oerth. Greyhawk is on the world of Oerth.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're starting to believe that maybe they made a mistake. I'm going to roll a morale check.
Yep.
They succeed, so they're going to hang and bang. All right, so the leader is just like, how dare you? And he is going to swing at Bruce with his short sword and miss with a natural 7. The one with the spear is going to stab at a Choppy, rolls a natural 20.
Oh, shit. Choppy's
a natural 20.
Natural 20.
Oh, Choppy,
it's going to be great, as I'll be able to make a sandwich pretty soon.
That's right.
Oh, no.
So that is a total of 6 points of damage. So not too bad.
I've lost 11 points so far.
Okay.
You have more than that?
I had started with 35.
Ooh, that's good. I would be dead by now.
Yeah, you rolled, like, Choppy rolled great for everything.
Is everyone level 3, by the way, as far as our PCs? Okay.
Yeah, PCs are all level 3. Okay, and so the final guy with the short sword, is going to go after... Okay, he is actually going to try to go after Sister Mercy, but to do it, he's going to have to get past Choppy.
Yes!
So I'm going to let... Choppy, I'm going to let you do sort of an attack of opportunity if you want to do that against
him. Where do you think you're going?
What do you think you said?
Show me your skeleton.
Prove me high. I rolled a 19.
Okay, that is a hit. And rolled a d8 plus 3 for your damage.
Oh, I rolled an 8, 11.
Oh, you kill him.
He cuts him from knaves to chaps. Down. And then he does this, and you do see his skeleton.
Okay.
So he did have a skeleton.
Okay.
I told you.
Okay.
He's
now
just
Sister
dead.
Mercy
he's not undead.
Dang.
Not yet.
I mean, okay. It'd be fun to just turn a dead skeleton and see what happens.
Okay, that is their turn, and it is your guy's turn.
It's our turn?
That's your turn.
Same order
can
as before.
You're still up and running, right, Choppy? You're okay? You don't need cure wounds or anything?
I'm good for now.
Okay, I will save that until someone's dying, and maybe I'll be able to...
Yeah, you can save that till after the fight's over.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll save it. All right. You know what? I have not gotten to swing at anyone. And I kind of feel like Sister Mercy is feeling this urge. This celestial urge to swing.
Yeah.
So she wants to swing at the leader because she just didn't. She thought, you know, he just seems like he has too many elbows. So she's going to swing.
He's got too many.
She has a footman's mace.
That's right. You have a footman's mace.
Yes, that's something that you gave her, actually. And she had at the top of this mace is like the silver thing, and it looks like a bent, crooked steel funeral bell.
Whoa!
Wow!
That's what it looks like. You know, like church bells. It looks like the top of the mace. It looks like a bent funeral bell. And when she carries it, it tinkles lightly. But when she swings it, it sounds like a the city bell.
Like
and that's
a gong.
Why she calls yes,
oh,
like
wow.
gong. There it is. It sounds like a gong. Like
okay.
gong. And she calls it the bell ringer. She calls it the bell ringer.
Okay. Bell ringer. Wow.
He's really taking shape. This is great. Okay, so he has a 7 AC. Your Thaco as a third level cleric is 20, so you need a 13 or better. Well, actually, a 12 or better on the die with the bless.
Come on. Let's go. Go. 16.
Oh, that's a hit. Yeah. Okay. And that is a 1d8, I think, or 1d6.
Footman's mace?
That's 1d6.
Yeah.
1d6 plus 1, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
A 26 plus 1.
Oh, 1d6 plus 1. 1d6 plus 1.
Amazing.
I was like, he's dead.
Yeah. I think I got him. He's
4.
Oh, okay, he's dead. You killed the leader.
Yeah.
Nice.
Kill the leader.
I told you! It was your last day on Oerth.
That's right.
Whoa.
Okay, there's one guy left, and two of you who have yet to act. Or three of you.
I feel like this is all about Choppy. Because Thaddeus is the magic user. He doesn't like to jump in if he doesn't have to.
All right, so yeah, Choppy wheels around, swinging the battle axe at this remaining dude.
Okay.
You're about to join your friends.
Get him, Choppy.
I rolled a non-natural 20.
Okay, 20 total. Okay, roll 1d8 plus 3 damage.
8.
Kill him. He's dead.
Wah! There's another skeleton!
Bum, 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 bum.
His head goes flying into the woods.
For the crows!
So Choppy, why do these burglars have beef with you?
It's probably because I'm so attractive.
That's
probably it.
They're jealous.
Thaddeus starts looting the bodies.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good idea.
Okay. They do actually. Okay, so they have their weapons that I mentioned and the armor. And then they have a total of. Let's see. They have a total of 25 silver pieces between them.
We're rich.
Great. Yeah.
And we're hot. Except for you. That's okay.
Except for me.
But you know what? Hanging out with us makes you hotter. You know, like people look at you and they're like, well, he must be hot. Otherwise, you know what? These guys wouldn't hang out with
I'll run your social media accounts. It's fine.
You're just always on the phone behind us.
I'll edit the videos. It's cool.
Capka, whatever the fuck it's called.
They came to rob us, but we're making up with their silver. 25 silver pieces divided among four of us. Let's see. That's
my intelligence is low, so someone else can have to do that math.
That's 10 for me, and then
hey, wait a minute.
Wait, let me check my intelligence.
Then the rest of you each get 5.
Oh yeah, I'm real dumb.
Okay.
That adds up.
What can I do with 5 silver shillings?
Yeah. You might be able to get a meal. Actually, we'll get into this fairly soon. You'll have an opportunity to spend some of it. And some of you have some money left over, too. You already have some.
Yeah, I already have some gold and some silver, but this is all Thaddeus cares about. So
I've got gold in my mouth, so.
And unless anybody is stopping him, he takes 10 of the silver and gives the rest of you each 5.
Did we see that? No.
I'm going to assume, Thaddeus, that you're taking more silver because you have to buy spell components in this world. Lots of spell components to buy, correct?
Of course.
Okay. And that you'll be using those to help the party?
Yes. This is our overhead.
All right.
Is that a dwarf joke?
Not at all. I'm just I'm a businessman, and
it flew right over your head. It flew right over your head.
Yeah.
Any
I don't know if you're being literal or figuratively figurative right now.
I'm probably looking way deeper than the storyline is trying to be, but is there anything interesting about these brigands apart from their weapons and armor?
Yeah,
and silver.
They, as you look closer to them, you like turn over one of their bodies as they lie covered in blood, and you see that the leader has in his leather armor sort of an embossed red symbol, like an eye.
Ooh!
All right.
Does anyone recognize that eye?
None of you recognize this.
Well, I don't know who. What this eye symbolizes, what organization that might be, but perhaps they'll know in the village.
Which village?
The village of Hamlet.
Let's take the eye with us. Choppy,
it's the name of them. It's not an eye, Alicia. It's a symbol of an eye.
Who's Alicia?
Who are you talking to?
It's too late. I took his eye out. We'll bring this. He's waggling it around.
So the merchant sort of like, he peeks his head out from the wagon. He says like,
sorry, mercenaries, have you dealt with the bandit threat?
I didn't know we had a person in there. Yeah.
Yes, I was the one who hired you, if you'll recall.
Right, right.
Yes, they are dealt with. What is this guy's name?
His name is Oirik.
They are dealt with, Sir Oirik. But per our contract... we get a bonus each time we deal with trouble on the road, I think you'll recall.
Oh, yes, how foolish of me to forget. Well, that's 1, 2, 3. Three bonuses. All right, let's go. Let's go now.
And he starts pushing his cart along with the mules.
All right, I'll let that go for right now. Yeah, okay. And I'll head into the village with him.
Okay, so you guys are just a couple of hours away from the village of Hamlet, and I will go ahead and read to you the introduction that is spelled out, written by Gary Gygax himself in the text. Your party is now approaching the village of Hamlet, having ridden up from lands on the wild coast. You are poorly mounted, badly equipped, and have no large sums of cash. In fact, all you have is what you wear and what you ride, plus the few coins that are hidden in purses and pockets. What you do possess in quantity, though, is daring and a desire to become wealthy and famous. Thus, your group comes to Hamlet to learn if this is indeed a place for adventurers to seek their fortunes. You all hope, of course, to gain riches and make names for yourselves. What the outcome of this will be is uncertain, but your skill and daring, along with a good measure of luck, will be the main ingredients of what follows, be it for weal or woe. The small community at the crossroads is a completely unknown quantity. Who is there? Who will be encountered? Where to go? These are your first explorations and encounter. He kind of goes on like this for a while.
yada yada yada. Wow. Adventure seeking.
Will outsiders be shunned? Are reports of the whole community engaging in evil practices true? Are the folk here bumpkins easily duped? Does a curse lay upon those who dare to venture into the lands which were once the temples? All of these questions will soon be answered. The dusty, rutted road is lined with closely grown hedges of brambles and shrubs. Here and there, it cuts through a copse or crosses a rivulet, and to either hand, forest and meadow have given way to field and orchard. A small herd of kine graze nearby, and a distant hill is dotted with the white of a flock of sheep. Ahead are thatched roofs and smoke chimneys with thin plumes of blue smoke rising from them. The road angles west into the hill country there, and to either side of the road ahead are barns and buildings. Hamlet, at last. The adventure begins. And wow. If you'll refer to our unnamed virtual tabletop.
Yes.
And you can see there on the thing. This is a map of the village of Hamlet, and you are approaching from the south. So you look here, and the road splits. As you enter the town, there's some fields, some farm fields. The road branches off to the west and continues on to the north. And you can see there are 1, 2, 3, 4 buildings, like right sort of in front of you, 3 down the road to the west, and more sort of laying along the road to the north, and a very large building further up to the north. And you can see what looks like a tower, a fortified tower on a hill off to the east. And it looks like there's a lot of construction that's been going on, as if maybe more fortifications are being built. So the merchant, he says like, well, that was a rousing success. Thank you for your efforts. And I believe payday is in order. So come around.
I believe so.
Yes. Here you are, sister. Six gold pieces there for you, and 6 for you. There we are. All right. Goodbye. Best of luck on your adventures, continuing as they are. And he heads off in the direction of these fortifications.
Okay.
Good luck. Don't get killed.
I'll try. Ha ha.
Bye bye.
See you later.
Well, see you. I don't know about you lot, but I'd say that big building up there is the inn, and I intend to spend one of these gold pieces on a big mug of ale.
I would like to find some sort of apothecary to heal my 14 damage or whatever the hell I just took.
You have been damaged.
11.
That is correct.
Yeah. In AD&D, your damage never heals.
No.
Oh my god.
Unless you happen to be friends with a cleric, which...
What? Madam Vale, would you be so kind?
I can cure your wounds.
Yes, please, if you would. If it's not too much trouble.
All you have to do to get, you have to come close to Sister Rissy Vale, and notice her, she has these huge silver eyes, but her eyes aren't really silver, her eyes are mirrors, and you just have to look into her eyes, and for a few seconds, you will see like how you might die one day, but you are pure.
That's fine.
That's cool.
That's boring fine. Than I was expecting. Just sort of in a bed. I'm in medieval hospice. And then... Okay, great. I'm still handsome, though.
Oh, yeah. You can look at how handsome you are.
Yeah,
your eyes.
I have to roll for cure wounds, don't I?
Yeah, roll a d8.
Okay. 7.
All right.
Oh, great.
I'll take it. Thank you, m'lady.
You're very welcome.
And you can attempt if I think someone else is hurt too. I think Thaddeus is hurt, right?
Yeah, but I've only lost one hit point.
I've only lost 2, so we need to save
so
that
Sister
for
Mercy
later.
Vale, you can attempt to cast Cure Light Wounds again if you make a spell casting check and get an 11. Oh, actually, no. If you get a 9 or better on a D20, you can successfully cast Cure Light again today.
Okay. Let's see. 16!
Okay, that's another casting.
Yes. All right. So hold on. Let's do this again. 6.
Okay.
Whose eyes were you looking into that time?
Were you looking into my eyes? Did you see?
I suppose I was, to heal my 1 hit point of damage.
What about my 2 hit points of damage?
Yes, your 2 hit points were also cured.
Sure. Okay, so there's sort of an area of effect that happens.
Yeah.
And the rest of you. Okay. That makes sense. That makes
for
sense.
Right now.
For now, we'll hand wave that. But if you do want to try to cast that spell again today without resting, you're going to have to make another spell casting check.
So I take a nap.
You would have to take a nap. Okay, so you guys, is that what you want to do? You want to head for this large building at the center of town? Is
sure.
that what you want to do?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
When I looked into the sister's eyes, I saw grim portents, omens.
Hmm.
Remember, yes. It's how you might die.
Destruction.
Was it cool?
Oh.
It looked sort of like shadowy things.
Uh-huh.
Moving around the edges of her iris.
Yeah, pretty standard stuff, I think.
Yeah. So what is this large building? It's the inn, I assume.
Well, you pass by. There's a building to your left. It looks like a farm cottage. And standing out in front in this yard among a couple of chickens is
chickens?
There are a couple of chickens. And there is a large goodwife, rosy-cheeked and friendly, who is greeting, "Hello! Hello, visitors! Welcome to Homelet!" And she's got a little rake, and she's sort of, like, raking among the chickens.
Wait, the chickens, is it?
No, the woman. The goodwife, she owns the chickens. Maybe if we're paying attention, your character, maybe it would have sounded
Hello?
Like one of the chickens was talking.
It's just me, a chicken.
And he's just like, "Yes, welcome! Hello!
Hello!
Oh, you're a Hello. Handsome lot, aren't you?" She's raking.
"I thank you."
"Yes,
yes,
we are.
Yes, madam. Please don't bother us. We're going to get drunk."
"Oh, well, you'll want to go to the inn there, that large building at the center of town."
"Well, yes. That's what I was doing before I was interrupted."
"Oh,
but,
Thaddeus, you truly are a man of the world. You picked which one was the inn correctly."
"Of course I did. Of course I did. I'm the brains of this operation. But ma'am, let me ask you.
Yes.
Are you familiar with a group, an army, or a cult that uses a symbol of a red eye?"
"And who has an eyeball that would look like this?"
"There is no eyeball."
"Oh, and you produce the eye symbol that you pulled off of this guy.
Me.
And the eye.
And the eyeball."
All right, she looks at this and her rosy cheeks turn pale. And she says, I don't know nothing about no eye. But not me, no. And if you'll excuse me," and she goes inside, and these dogs come, as she opens the door to go inside, these two like huge dogs come outside and they run up against the fence and they start barking at you.
"Oh, that's pretty rude."
"Maybe the chickens. We should ask the chickens."
"Yes.
The chickens."
Choppy takes a knee. "Yes, you, the larger one."
The chickens go inside with the woman.
"Oh, milady."
"Ah,
he that was doffs his helmet."
"Don't talk."
"Okay, we get it. Let's keep
she
going."
"She definitely knew the
something about this red eye."
"She knew
yes,
something.
She knew about the eye, but perhaps we can learn more at the inn." And I'm gonna go to the inn.
Yep. Let's keep going.
"Let's go to the inn.
Thaddeus, you know, if this village was slightly smaller, it would be called a hamlet. And then we'd be in the hamlet of Homelet."
"Well, maybe you can order an omelet at the inn."
"I might.
A wonderful bon mot."
So you pass by another small, like, farmhouse on the right as you continue up the
chickens?
Road to the north. There
More
are, there's no sort of yard or anything. It looks like there's, but you can see that the door is open and you can just make out what looks like a woman with two large young men sitting at a table inside.
Do they look friendly? Do they smell friendly? That's the other question.
Well, that is a difficult question. They don't seem threatening. They don't seem to have taken notice of your passing yet. And
shall we ask them, or shall we head on to the inn?
They were pointed out to us, so maybe we should talk to them.
Yeah, we're trying to be reasonable.
This is a true sandbox. All this entire village is populated.
I just feel like I'm in Oblivion. Okay. It's great.
Yeah, so you can. I'm any one of these buildings. You can stop by. Everything's detailed. So
okay,
it's up to you guys what you want.
Ho there, ho.
Who's that?
And this woman comes out front and says,
"Oh, a visitor. Oh, hello."
And she sort of like is closing the door and just like looking out with her face.
We are strangers to your village. I am Thaddeus Mox. This is Sister Mercy Vale, Bruce Goldmouth, and Choppy.
Yes.
Can you tell us anything about Homlet? We are here on business. We were protecting the caravan, but is there a place we should go or visit? A place of beauty or a place that is good to get a meal?
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't mean to seem rude. She opens the door a little bit, and you can see like a bunch of kids inside. Like now, she opens the door too. There are like a bunch of kids, like playing, like inside the house.
Ah, an orphanage.
No. There's these children. They all have parents. Those my grandchildren. It's my two sons.
Oh, they're, okay.
They're children. If you, of course, there's been a lot of traffic here. It's been very prosperous. In the last 10 years or so, ever since, the incident.
The incident?
The incident!
And what incident was that, ma'am?
There was some unpleasantness a while back, but ever since then, everything's been wonderful. As you can see that they're building the castle up over there, the other one, that's the tower up there, they're sort of in charge. I mean,
what
really
kind of unpleasantness?
Give
us specifics.
I don't really. My children. Oh yes, I'll come give you some milk. My children need milk. I'm sorry,
I didn't hear them say anything.
No, it's a grandmother's failing. And she just shuts the door.
In our faces.
No, there's no. The door is shut in your faces.
Did those children seem like they were in distress to you? Did they seem like they were really, she said grandchildren, then she said children?
Very suspicious.
It's very confusing since it's an orphanage.
Maybe they were halflings.
I think her kids were orphans.
I vote that we stopping at every house and we get to this inn.
Nope, every house. We're gonna get to the bottom of this mystery.
As long as Skid doesn't tell us there's another person, I really blame him.
What was the incident?
Okay,
that's right.
Let's get to the inn. They'll know the incident.
The incident.
The incident.
So good.
Okay, so you guys keep moving along the road to the north. There is another farmhouse to your left. It's like a very prosperous farmhouse. And out you can see.
We ignore it.
Okay, shoeing a horse is a man, and again you can hear children coming from the noise of children coming from inside the house. You ignore them. You keep moving to the north. On your right, you see a house with a leather hide tacked to the front door, with no immediate apparent activity. And now you've reached the threshold of this large building. So you can see here at the center of town, it is a large building with a square wooden sign showing a buxom and smiling girl holding a flagon of beer.
Now this is my kind of place.
Is this an inn of ill repute?
I hope so. Advertising is indicative of what I'll find inside.
It's like a coop piece.
I'll go inside.
Maybe the town drunk is in here.
I was thinking a chicken coop. Sorry, my brain. Those talking chickens, they just freaked me out.
I set it up great. It's cool.
Okay, so you approach the inn, and a young stable boy or a groom comes out and says, "Oh, pardon me, masters, do you have any mounts that I can see to? No? Oh, you're all afoot. Well, welcome to the... Welcome... What is it? The inn... Welcome to the inn of the Welcome Wench."
Ah.
And we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to take a 5-minute break.
That sounds great.
As you guys gather yourselves for your entry point. And ooh. I want to remind everybody about this marathon, the Naish thing that we're doing. I don't really know the details about it, but give us your money. Give us your money. If you're That's already subscribing and you're giving us money, give us more money. If you're not subscribing yet, start giving us money. And in return, you'll get access to a ton of shows that we do. Yeah. That people that don't give us money can't listen to. So we're going to do a quick...
Makes perfect sense.
5-minute break. And we will be back shortly.
Great.
Okay. All right. Welcome back to the Village of Hamlet. There we go. Check out that art. And yeah, Jason, you found your old character sheet.
I did.
So here great.
He's level 11 here, and I was 11 when I made him.
Oh.
But yeah.
Okay.
There's Looks just like Christian Slater.
Yeah, he's got he's does. Got. I gave him the stubble and everything.
Yeah, the hair.
Yeah. I don't That's know. Amazing. I think this predates that movie. It might.
So, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything I do.
Yeah.
Do it for you. Okay. So you guys have approached the inn of the Welcome Wench. You open the door. Oh, wait, there's a second larger. This module is so funny because there's like, it explains certain things to an insane degree and certain things it doesn't explain at all. Like I have here a full menu with every option for every food and drink that the inn serves, but they have no names for any of the NPCs. So, but you guys walk through the door.
Yes.
And you can see, oh, and I can, if you look here on our virtual tabletop, I will show you the interior. There we are. And there we go. All right. So you Beautiful. Open the front doors, you step inside. And you see this place is bustling. It is a large place, bright and cheerful. There are a bunch of rough-hewn tables and chairs, boards and benches. It looks like this place was built around with the existing trees. They're like tree trunk pillars supporting the ceiling overhead. Hmm. Everything's dark with smoke and age. And there are... Let's see. There are 13 customers sitting about the place. Local folk.
Okay.
And a large, heavyset man sees you with an apron. He sees you come in. He says, welcome to the inn, travelers. I'm Ostler Gundagood. Please take a seat anywhere you like. I'll have one of my daughters around to take your order."
Mm. Can't wait.
So you guys
Let's find a table,
grab an empty table, sit down.
Okay. So you take a seat, and a young woman comes over to your table with a bill of fare, and she's like, "Hello, welcome to the inn here. Can I get you started with something to drink?" And I wanted to show you guys the menu. I can't figure it out with this OBS here, but I'll read through some of the options. You get a plain breakfast. They're still serving breakfast for 5 copper pieces. You get an elaborate breakfast for 2 silver pieces. You get wait a couple hours. You get a plain dinner for 5 silver pieces or an elaborate dinner for 1 electrum piece. You can get a pint of beer for 5 copper, pint
what
of mead for an electrum.
Just that it's like warm?
It is very, it's as warm as any food you've ever had in your life.
Got it.
And so instead of just like a hunk of bread and some cheese, there's like some, maybe some meat, some gravy.
Elaborate.
Does it grant us elaborate. Any kind of combat bonus?
No, there is no mechanical bonus to any of the food, but I don't know. Maybe you guys are hungry. Maybe
I'll
like
take
to...
the mozzarella sticks.
Okay.
Okay. I'll take the soup.
Okay. Okay. You're above ground, so you can have the soup.
And these,
we'll
these
call that clean dinner. So that's 5 silver. That'll be 5 silver pieces for the soup.
Wow.
And that's what you want, the appetizer. So that's, we'll call that plain dinner. We'll call it another 5 silver pieces.
That's the cost of 4 men's lives.
It is. Yes.
Some mozzarella.
It is.
That was the life savings of the 4 people you killed on the road.
I'll have an elaborate breakfast.
An elaborate, I think
make
we're
it complex and Byzantine.
Oh, right. You won't be able to work your way through this breakfast. It'll be so elaborate. And that's only 2 silver pieces.
And
so.
A mug of ale, please.
Okay. And the mug of ale. No, okay. So we have a pint of ale. That's 2 silver pieces. Or we have a very special ale for 1 electrum piece. What would you prefer?
A very special ale.
Oh, that'd be 1 electrum.
That I don't have any electrum. How many gold is that?
Well, that's...
How many...
That's 5. That's the equivalent of 5... No, wait. Yeah, 5 silver.
5 silver. Okay, yeah. No problem. Yes, I want the very special brew. Okay.
Yes.
I don't know why
I'll have the El Presidente Margarita.
Margarita, that... Let's see. What is the equivalent of that?
Elaborate.
That is... That
well,
sounds...
no, salt makes it less elaborate.
Okay, that's less elaborate.
I don't want salt.
We'll call that Celine Ruby Wine.
Ah.
Which is 2 gold pieces. That's your kind of splurging.
Wow. Pieces?
Big spender.
Yeah. I've earned it.
I prefer to drink my breakfast, so give me the elaborate mead, please.
Elaborate mead. Okay, we have, we have a regular pint of mead and a special brew of mead.
I'll take that.
The special brew is 15 silver. You sure you want to splurge?
I'm special.
Okay.
Look at my teeth, lady.
And
you can see a full gold set of teeth.
Oh, well, okay. When in Rome, or wherever, and she takes your order, and she hustles off to the kitchens.
Should we dine and dash, maybe? Because I don't know if we have enough money for this.
It's a one shot. We got plenty of money.
Actually, Sister Mercy Vale, you have a lot of money.
We have enough money for this. Yeah.
Yeah. You, Sister Mercy Vale, you have 21 gold pieces.
I've gotten more.
Yeah. I don't know what your religious order says about treating people to brunch, but it's up to you.
Oh, that's right. I'm neutral good. I wouldn't dine and dash.
Yeah, probably not. Lawful good, certainly not. I guess a little on the fence, neutral good, like maybe in extreme circumstances.
You could justify it. You could be like, says on the tab that there's an automatic tip, so it's fine.
Yeah, so that's true. Well, it's like the owner is supports Hitler. That's like, well, okay, we'll just leave. You guys, after about 10 minutes, like your food comes up. First, your drinks come out, your special drinks and everything. And you guys are probably relieved after several days on the road. And you can see like the mood here is a little subdued, but it does seem like it's popular. At least there are a lot of customers. So what do you do?
Does anyone look suspicious?
Well, there are a couple like rough-hewn people sitting about, but nobody looks like. Well, let's see.
A spot hidden to find anyone wearing the eye.
Okay, so this is what we used to do back in our old days of gaming, is because there aren't a lot of these sort of, there's no perception checks, there's none of this stuff in AD&D. So what we do is we'll call for a percentile roll.
Love it.
And this is the origin of the 69-86 rule. 69 on the percentile dice, best possible result. 86 on the percentile dice, worst possible result. So let's do a percentile die. And let's say you want to get under your whatever skill that you're applying here times 5. If you're doing a wisdom check, like for Sister Mercy Vale, like if you're trying to like scope out people's intentions around you.
Yes.
You would roll percentile dice and get under a 75.
thing. That's a 19.
19, okay.
Yeah, pretty low.
So there is, let's see, there is one guy who looks like someone who can really handle himself. And he's sort of sitting off to the side. And you can see, you look at him and it's like kind of dark in here, but you can see, it's like, oh, he's got a sword like hanging at his side. And he does look a little guarded, if not necessarily evil or anything, but this is a person of fighting stock, like sitting off to the side.
Is he in shadow with a long pipe?
He is. He doesn't have a pipe, but he is sitting in shadow.
He's pipe?
He does not have a pipe.
No pipe.
Strider. No, maybe he could tell mercenaries where they might get more work.
He seems pretty cool.
He seems cool.
Yeah.
How tall is the ceiling?
The ceiling is 8.5 feet.
That sounds like a climbing wall.
You can climb if you want to climb up to the top of it and show off. You can do that.
I think that's it's not very challenging. So I'm going to wait.
Okay.
I know there's that tower
yeah,
that we saw on the hill. I'm just thinking about stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to walk up to
the rough-hewn character sitting in the shadows.
Okay. Okay, so you come up and he just looks a little suspicious of you as you walk up.
Hello, good sir. We are mercenaries, fresh from the road where we are protecting a caravan. You seem like one who knows how to take care of himself, and we were wondering if you know of any other work for mercenaries in these parts. We encountered some brigands on the road that apparently belong to an army or organization of some sort.
And he sort of looks at you, squinting. He's a... You what?
I said,
jump on the wall behind him. I get
a
60. And
wow. You scramble up the wall like Peter Parker himself. And he's like,
whoa, what are you doing climbing the wall, eh?
Have we got your attention now, sir?
As you can see, we are very skilled.
And from out a side door with maybe a garter rope, a smaller, thinner human like steps out, sort of like wiping his hands off. And he says, why are you bothering my friend? Why are you bothering him?
Wait, Skid, can you embiggen your face so I can see these awesome characters? I'm just seeing this map in your tiny head.
Why are you bothering my friend? Leave him alone. He doesn't know anything.
But he looks so tough.
He's very tough, but that's why I go with him. But he is not, I don't know your language, not very, you know. Intelligent. I'm sorry to say.
You're the brains of your outfit.
I am, and he like tucks his thumbs into his rope belt.
I am Turuko.
Ah,
yes. Turuko.
Turuko.
Say a pleasure.
They say the I want to hear the music in it when you say Turuko.
Turuko.
Ah, yes. I can't do that.
Listen, Turuko.
Yes.
My mother always told me that if you hear me calling you from the woods in the middle of the night, don't answer.
Well, in any case, why are you...
She also has this thing about soup. It's crazy.
I don't know. Well, what Sister is it Mary is touched by the divine. She has visions and sees things, and it's left her a little bit
addled in the head. No, I see. Like her eyes, they are like mirrors looking into my soul.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
Ah. But look, here's the deal.
Perhaps because you're the brains, you could tell us. Is there any work for mercenaries hereabouts?
Ah, mercenaries, you want to get rich. Is that it?
I would love to get some potato skins here, and I think that means I have to kill 6 more people, so
well,
yes.
Well, that's, yes, they're... they are to die for. But no, you want to get rich. I see. Well,
and he gestures for you all to come closer.
I climb down the wall.
Come back down from the wall, Mr. Human Spider. there is rumors of a ruin to the west. It is remnants of an old cult's headquarters. They are saying, perhaps, that bandits have taken up residence there. Yes, they strike caravans on the roads. Perhaps some of the wealth that they have stolen, perhaps it lies there, yes? Perhaps I come with you. Perhaps we both come with you.
Perhaps not. We travel alone.
Well, my lady, but...
Fuck you.
Well, why so hostile? You are so handsome, and there is no cause to be so angry with me. I am only trying to help you.
I'm
to
sorry,
help
us, we're just on
to help
sure.
us all.
I'm sorry.
All right. Okay.
I apologize for their poor manners, Turuko, but we are not courtiers at some noble's court. We are mercenaries fresh from the road.
Yes.
And we only work with other warriors whom we trust. Isn't that not right, my companions?
Yes, of course. Yes. He can right. He can maybe shoot a magic missile again today.
Oh, magics you could use. Magics. That is powerful indeed.
Yes.
Yes, well, we can help you. Stand up. And he, like, hits this guy. He says, show them.
And this human, like, stands up to his full height. He's, like, 6'5". And he says,
look, quite the specimen, eh? Yes, you can imagine him fighting in combat. He's very good at it. Yes.
Yes, I can imagine him beating me about the back of the head with a club and taking the treasure for himself. No, well, I'm afraid not.
No. Why are you so untrusting? We must work together. That is the only way that we shall find true success. Do you
I'll
disagree?
Be honest, it's your accent. It's just real creepy. Well, it's making me, put me real on edge.
That is, first of all, I don't have an accent. And second of all, even if I did, that is a terrible way to judge someone. Please.
Perhaps we negotiate a finder's fee you told us about. This ruin and these brigands and that there might be treasure there. So perhaps a 5% cut.
A 5% cut.
And say. All you have to do is sit here and wait for us to get back.
5%. But if you go without our aid, perhaps you suffer and die. 5% of nothing is nothing. Whereas if we go with you, we can help. Right, isn't that right? What is his name? Kobort.
And Kobort says, we go with you, yeah?
Let me consult with my companions.
Yes, please. Take your time.
Choppy, Bruce, Sister Mercy, what do you think?
I mean, he blinked sideways, which means he's probably trustworthy.
And don't forget, if he's coming behind you, I can jump on the wall behind him and stop him from happening.
Bruce makes a good point.
All right. All of you have said nothing but silly nonsense.
It's a first for this adventure, I know.
I turn back to Turuko and I say, very well, you come with us.
Oh, excellent.
I'm thinking two against four. We should be able to handle them if they turn on us.
Excellent. Oh, you will not regret this. Please, stand up again.
Kobort has sat down again. Stand up again.
Show them!
Show them your body!
Now, perhaps a way for
Hands
us
for them.
To cement our new partnership, we find ourselves bereft of coin at the moment. Perhaps you would be so kind as to give us an advance on what we will all earn.
Why am I not surprised?
No. Nope. I need that
should
money.
Should we show him?
I see.
Mercy's going to lean toward Thaddeus and say, should we show him the red eye? We haven't yet.
That's right.
Does it matter?
Does this eye, and by the way, I'm so confused. I thought there was a symbol of the eye. There's an there actual eye.
We got that.
Well,
confused.
That was a bit. I threw the eye away into the chickens. We have the patch of the eye.
Yeah, okay.
I kept never dangling mind, the real eye.
Okay, yes. The real eye is gone. There is the symbol of the eye still.
Jared, that bit is over now.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to create a new bit.
Right.
All
right.
Does this symbol... that's not... They asked us if we could front them a little money. And Thaddeus will very begrudgingly go, enough for food so that you are fed before the journey.
Eh? Oh, wonderful. You are so generous. I told you we would find someone worthy of our aid. Did I not, Cook?
Give them each 2 silver pieces.
Ah, yes. Well, this will certainly cover a part of the bill.
A single mozzarella stick, I believe.
Yes. The owner here, the innkeeper, is a very reasonable man. I go to speak to him. I'm sure we can negotiate something. If you please.
Yes, you negotiate.
All right. As a cobalt, come with me.
And there they walk over to Gundagoot, and he like comes up, he looks at you, and you can see them like having a discussion. And you can see that Cobort, like, at a signal, pushes over the innkeeper, and the two of them run out of the building.
They've got our 2 silver pieces!
We meet you! We meet you there! We meet you there!
And they run off.
But we just... took?
I'm gonna talk to the innkeeper. Gundagoort, is that his
yeah,
name?
Yeah, Gundagoort. Oh! And his daughters come over to, like, help him up.
Are you all right, sir?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, did they? Oh, well, that's me out. That's me out a few gold, isn't it?
What did they do?
Typical.
They ate and fled?
They ordered 2 elaborate suppers and several cups of special mead, and then they just ran out. Did you see? Pushed me over, the big one did. Ugh. Not the first time it's happened, I hate to say it.
It's very uncouth.
Well, how would you like it if we went and brought them to justice for you?
Oh, would you do that, sirs and madam? Oh, I'd surely be in your debt. I mean, you look here, my place. I do pretty good business. I've got my daughters to take care of, but my hotel is as clean as an elven arse. No offense meant, madam. But if you, of course, I'll give you a full share of ownership. If you do this for me and come back, you will be part owners of the Inn of the Welcome Witch.
What part do you say? Owners?
Wow.
Part owners of the witch?
I think we have a quest.
Yeah.
And I think I know exactly where those 2 went.
Okay. Okay. So, do you guys, if you know where they are, if you want to get going, you can, or if you'd like to stay the night and prepare yourselves further before you head out, you can do
Let's stay the night, because I do get a spell slot back, right?
I would give you each a room, your own room, if you'd so choose.
Let's stay the night. Yep. Let's stay the night.
All right, so you guys stay the night and get free room and board overnight. The next morning you wake up, you get free elaborate breakfasts.
Yes,
and he tells you, it's just like from what he said, it's just like, oh yes, it's just like,
oh, I think I know where he's leading you. It's the old ruined moat house. It was one of the outposts of the old temple. It was razed by an international force some 10 years ago, but there's been rumors that a resurgence of banditry and evil has been happening here in the town. And some point to the old cult. Now, I don't know about that. But there's every reason to believe that some of these bandits may have made their home there at the moat house.
Well, we shall bring these bandits to justice. And then we shall all share in the profits of the Welcome Witch.
Yes, yes, ha ha, we shall. We shall indeed. Well, masters and mistress, a fair farewell to all of you, and I shall do up the contracts while you're gone, and it'll all be good and legal when you get back.
I head out the door.
Okay. So you guys head west towards the moat house ruins. Okay. So, let's see. Put you on the
For some reason, I feel like the innkeep wasn't totally on the level either.
Yeah, that was a pretty quick offer to become co-owners in a place he's probably owned his entire life.
Yeah. Brian he really from his it, family.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, he seems to be cutting out his own daughters in the process.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's surprising, but I've heard of this kind of thing happening before.
Yeah.
You are wise, so I believe you.
Okay. So let's look at the map here. Okay, so you guys, let me look at the thing. So you guys spend a couple of, several hours actually on the road to the west, and you see that there is a sort of a disused track continues towards this. You can see these ruins off in the distance. It looks like this place once had at least two levels, but the upper levels have been flattened. It's surrounded by marshes and bogs and swamp. And there's only this one track of solid ground leading up to it. It's about 15 foot wide with crumbling embankments, making travel near the edge dangerous, and this bog stink. And you approach the entrance and you look here at our virtual tabletop. Let me make sure that you all have access to your characters. And you're not on there, Jared, it looks like. Alicia.
Yeah, forgive me. I didn't realize.
And that's Rob. Okay. So yeah, you approach this entrance, and you can see that there is a drawbridge that is down in the southern curtain wall of this place. And that's what you see. What do you guys do?
I mean, there's a wall. I gotta climb it.
You gotta climb wall. Okay.
So my time to shine.
Bridges are down.
This is what I was made for, literally.
You could climb the wall. Of course, you have to get to the wall be able to do that.
Well, the drawbridge is down. So we cross
the drawbridge. The drawbridge is down. Yes.
Oh man, fine. We just walk over it.
You can go up the wall and like flank us.
What if I climb the wall to then like look over it and see what's going on in there?
Yeah, you gotta climb that wall.
Just to get some.
What are we even doing here if you're not climbing a wall?
Yeah.
Okay, so you approach the drawbridge to attempt to climb the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Goldmouth. Yes. Okay, so you get a little closer.
Oh, wait, as I do it though, I would like to try to not only move silently, but also hide in the shadows while I am approaching.
Oh, okay. Said all right, wall. Give me a roll.
In AD&D, it wasn't just a stealth check. You have to try to move silently and hide. They're two separate rolls.
Two separate rolls. Wow. Yeah. Right.
Maybe that's why they gave us the climb walls skill so good, because like they wanted us to be able to do something.
It's good.
Because my skills now suck on everything else. Apparently, I can only hear anything like 15% of the time. So
really?
For hear noise, it's 15%.
It's so pathetic. Like all the skills are so bad. They're terrible.
All right. But I'm going to... Okay, I'm first going to try to move silently. I've got a 30% chance of doing this. And you know what? I do get it. I get it 01. So that's good. So I'm moving silently.
Okay.
I'm moving silently. But now I'm going to try to hide in the shadows, of which I only have a 20% chance of doing.
Okay.
And wow, I get an 009. I have succeeded both times. I can't believe it, honestly.
Holy moly. Okay. Yeah. All right, so Bruce T. Goldmouth seems to almost vanish before your very eyes.
Where'd he go?
As he approaches the drawbridge. Okay, so you get to the drawbridge and then you want to climb the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give me a climb wall check.
All right, 87% chance.
Let's go.
No problem.
Let's go.
27.
Okay, so you get to the top of the wall, and let me put you up there. Okay, let me see. Make sure you have vision. Vision, there we go. Okay. Yeah, so you get to the top of the wall, and you can see that there is this courtyard. In the middle of this place, there is a wide set of stairs leading up to a pair of broken double doors off in the northeastern corner of this place. There's a collapsed wall to your left, and there are a few windows. That's the only pair of the only entry point is those broken double doors. But and you also see these tracks on the ground leading up to these double doors.
Hmm.
You tell us that, Bruce?
Well, I got to climb back down and tell him, I guess, right?
Roll to do that.
Okay. Yeah, roll again.
Really?
Yeah, you got to get down the wall.
Right, oh, Jesus.
I'm rolling to get down. I did. 15.
So okay.
Get
there. So. Land at the base.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, but none of you see him.
Well, can I? I'm going to go. Hey, psst, guys.
Bruce.
Guys.
What have you
he
found?
He disappeared.
I didn't even know you were there.
There's tracks. There's a broken double door. I didn't see any sign of any living being in that courtyard. But there's tracks going into the broken double door. So
what kind of
we gotta be on our guard. It looks like human, you know, humanoid tracks.
Skeleton tracks?
Could be zombies. Possibly whites.
It could be skeletons, cool. But if so, they're wearing shoes.
Yeah.
Let's go quietly.
That's perverse.
I'm gonna walk in.
Okay, so as Thaddeus starts walking towards the ruin, you are set upon by a bunch of giant frogs. Like, ribbit! And they jump at you. There's a bunch of them from either side. They come out of the bog. You have to roll for initiative. So, nominate someone to roll for
initiative.
I did bad
last time. Rob, you do it.
All right. By the way, I've had two peanut butter pretzels just sitting here that I haven't eaten because I'm too worried about the crunching. And that's resulted in me either almost eating my dice several times or me rolling these peanut butter pretzels.
Eat them. Eat the pretzels.
Roll the pretzels.
It's okay. Just eat the pretzels.
What am I rolling? A D10?
You're rolling a D10 and trying to roll low.
Now it says zero. So that unfortunately means a 10.
Okay,
not a zero, which I could argue it should be.
That would be lower. I actually rolled a 10 also.
Oh, what did you do?
What does that mean?
So that means that all of our actions take place simultaneously. So now invoke weapon factor, speed factor for your weapons, and casting time for your spells. Okay.
Wow.
So let's see. For example, Thaddeus Mox, if you were going to use your dagger in this circumstance, that does a speed factor of 2. So you would go before someone who had a speed factor of 3.
Forgive me. I know that you gave me a dagger, but it was so important to me that he carry a staff that I would like to switch it to a staff. Can I do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it auto-populated when I chose staff, and my speed for a staff is 4.
Okay, great.
And I would like to go and bonk one of the frogs with my staff. That is what I would like to do.
Okay. You can do that. I think they do not act until segment 6. They act on 6. So anyone who has a speed factor lower than that can act first. So, yeah, Thaddeus, you're going to conk one of these frogs, try to conk one of them on the head.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to need a 13. Or better on the die.
Okay, here it goes. 13 exactly.
Okay, that is a success, obviously. Roll your damage.
All right. 2.
Okay. That seems, let's see.
Appropriate for a staff.
Okay. Call that. Okay. All right, do a little bit of damage to one of the frogs. Ribbit, it says. Does anyone else have a speed factor for their weapon or a casting time less than 6?
I do. Mine's 3.
Oh, yeah. Okay. 7. And you can get your backstab here as well because you're still unseen.
Yes.
So that would be double damage and plus 4 to your attack as well.
By the way, side note, at D&D in a castle recently, I was the DM, and I forced all of my players to say backstab instead of sneak attack. Because in my brain, it's still called backstab. And they were doing it by day 3.
Oh, great.
That's awesome.
That's great. That's great. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I'm gonna attempt to backstab right now. So I add four.
Wow.
To hit.
Whoa.
What? You roll a four?
No. I add a four to
you
hit.
You add a four. Add a four to your roll, yes.
Okay. And then what am I trying? What number am I going for?
You were trying to get a 13 or higher.
Okay. You know what? I rolled a 10, and with my
four,
I got it.
Yeah, so, and that's double damage as well.
So with AD&D rules, do I roll the die once and then double it, or do I roll the dice twice?
I think you roll once and double it.
Okay, I rolled a two, so four. 4 points of damage.
4 damage to one of the frogs. It's like, rah!
And there's how many frogs?
There are six. There are six of these frogs.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of frogs.
That's a good climax. Right.
Okay. Anyone else? Let's say, well, Mercy, what would you like to do this round?
We're trying to get the frogs out of the way. That's what we're trying to do, right? Because they're blocking our way to.
They're attacking you now. So it's like, it seems like they're going to keep doing that until they run away.
We got to get rid of them then.
Yeah.
Can I knock one of them into, just knock him into the moat, knock him out and kick him back in the moat or the water?
Yeah, you could move up to one and kick it into the moat, but it's not a ditch. It's really just like a stream kind of running around the place, and frogs are not that averse to water.
Pour salt on them.
Right. Ooh. Do you have any salt?
Ooh.
I do have salt in my pack, I guess.
Okay. We'll do that.
Are you going to do that?
I would like
salt
to tee
the frogs.
Up. I'd like to tee up to one of them.
Season them.
Okay. Yes. All right. Okay.
Frog legs. Here we go.
Okay. Let's roll an attack and try to hit this thing with some salt.
Okay. She sprinkles. What she would like to do is she would like to throw salt at him and then tee up and then hit the frog.
Okay.
If that can work. Let's see.
Okay.
Now I'm rolling to it right now.
Okay. So we'll say that you do hit it with the salt. You sprinkle it. You throw the salt on it like pocket sand. And now you're swinging your flail at it.
Pocket sand.
It's a footman's mace.
Footman's mace.
The bell ringer.
The bell ringer.
Wait, so I'm rolling. Okay, I'm actually.
Dost thou not know the tale of the bell ringer?
22?
Oh, yeah. That's a hit.
Okay. Wait. Oh, okay. Goody.
Okay. All right. Then roll a D6 plus 1.
Yes. I feel like I don't even know how to play D&D anymore with this.
It's very different.
I feel like it's like weird. I'm like, what am I doing? 4.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
4.
So that, like, the salt seems to weaken it drastically, and your blow kills it.
Yeah.
Amazing. Ooh. Use the salt on all of them, Sister Mercy! Do I have salt?
Do you have salt? That's a good question. That's up to you.
That's how up to us it is?
Yeah.
Of course I have salt.
Okay. Okay, you did already go.
What about all of our 10-foot poles?
We could say you all have 10-foot poles as well. And rope.
Yeah.
And I think, Rob, the choppy's speed factor is 7 with his axe. Okay, so the frogs are now going to go. All right, so frog number 1 is going to attempt to attack Thaddeus Mox. Needs a 16 or better on the die. Misses.
Yes.
Frog number 2. Oh, it still missed. It was attacking Thaddeus Mox. It still missed. Okay, the frog number 2 is going to attack Choppy and misses. Frog number 3 is going to hop up to Sister Mercy Vale and miss. And frog number 6 still does not know about the existence of Bruce T. Goldmouth, so it's going to jump up to Choppy and attack and miss. Okay,
wow.
That is their round. Okay, now actually, technically, We're supposed to roll initiative every round as well, I believe.
Because we tied?
Yeah, so roll again.
Whoa. All right, I did it last time. Someone else do it now.
I'll do it.
Do it, Goldmouth. Goldsmith.
Goldmouth. And it fell onto the floor. I'm going to roll. Okay. Dang it, I got an 8.
Oh, I rolled a 10 again.
Yeah.
So you guys go first.
Now wait, I didn't get to go. I didn't do anything the last round.
Oh, right. Okay, so this is this is the end of the last round. We'll do that first, and then you guys can go again. So,
okay.
Choppy, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to swing my battle axe at one of these fucking frogs.
Okay.
9.
Okay, let's see. That is a miss. Okay.
Choppy.
So now it is round 2. And you guys decide what order you want to go in.
All right. Choppy, why don't you take another swing?
Here I go again. I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's worse than last time. He's just like whiffing. You see like the frog's tongues just kind of wafting in the breeze of his battle axe, just completely missing. Ha! 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 Maybe it's too heavy for him.
On some level, the rivets of these giant frogs feel like laughter somehow at you.
How dare
at
your expense. You!
Okay, who wants to go next?
I will. I take the salt that I also have.
Okay. Okay.
Of course you do. Sprinkle it on a frog and then I bonk it with my stave.
Okay.
Here comes my attack. I needed a 13 last time. Does that change?
That is still the same.
19.
That is a hit.
Wow.
Roll damage.
4.
Okay, and yet again, with the power of salt, you have defeated a second frog.
Choppy is just mortified that a stick just killed this thing, and his battle axe isn't a shit.
Use your salt!
Dwarves don't have salt. We have naturally high cholesterol.
We're
check
not allowed.
Your pockets!
It's all the meat we eat.
It's true. Because we're sort of hand-waving. We are saying that you do need spell components, but we're hand-waving the actuality of it. So you could have salt, like spell components, whatever. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, he has spell components. Some of it is salt.
Yeah.
It would make sense for a person in a medieval world to walk around with a little salt on.
Yeah, I mean, look, Sam Gamgee did.
Yeah, he did. It's his last little bit of home.
Yeah, last little bit of home.
May I ask, though, could I backstab with my salt and then do double damage?
Yes. If you're saying you have salt, then yes, you could also.
I'm saying that I have salt, and I'm saying I'm going to try to backstab with it.
Okay.
I feel like the thief move would be you put the salt in your palm, and then you go...
Yeah.
Like
running along your dagger. Like dip your dagger in salt.
Yes. Unfortunately, I missed, so maybe a breeze came up. And at the last minute, the salt went in my face.
What did you roll?
I rolled a 2. Oh,
okay, that is a miss. Okay.
Yeah,
no. Even with my backstab bonus, that would be a 6.
Yeah, that's not enough. Okay, yeah. So I think it's just Sister Mercy, right? That's the last person who needs to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's one. How many frogs left?
There are 4 frogs left. There's one right next to you.
Man. I wish there was a way to, like, I don't know, enchant them, but there is no way to enchant them.
Yeah, you
even
don't really.
Not really.
No.
Charm monster? Charm animal?
Do we have that money? I don't know.
You have. I gave you Cure Light Wounds, the light spell, Protection from Evil, Detect Evil, and Bless at first level.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, I mean, I can
detect
their evilness. I already know they're evil. So I think Sister Merge is just going to tee up again. She has a salt shaker. So she's just going to like shake it and then tee up.
Okay.
Let's see if we can make this happen. Oh my God. Okay. Embarrassing. Let's see, what is it? 12.
That is. Okay, we'll say with the salt, that's a hit. That lowers their AC by 1.
Yay!
All right,
and
roll
the 4!
Okay, another frog has been dispatched. Another salted frog.
Ridiculous.
Look, this swamp remembers people by taste.
that's right. Everyone says that about the swamp.
I believe there are like 3 left.
There are 3 left. Okay, so now they have to make their morale check. after these defeats, and they fail for one.
Yes.
So the rest of the frogs wisely flee into the swamp, and you have defeated but the first challenge presented to you by the Village of Homlets by E. Gary Gygax, T1. Fortunately, we're going to have to call it quits there. We're out of time.
Will you run all of Village of Homlet for us, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to get I would actually love to run the entirety of the Temple of Elemental Evil at some point, actually. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Maybe you could put that on as a goal somewhere on the thing. But thank you all so much. Thank you guys for hanging out and playing with us.
Yeah, it was so fun. Thanks, kid.
I love AD&D 1E combat.
I do too.
That was fun.
The simultaneous initiative thing's kind of interesting. I like that.
That's kind of cool. I do like involving speed factor, like when it gets to that.
Yeah,
we could
that's
do
cool
more
too.
Involved initiative, but like I love doing that. I love how sort of lucid it is. It's not quite as tactical. It's more sort of open to imagination than some newer games are. And Thaco is actually pretty simple, like once you get used to the concept.
Once you have Skid telling you.
Yeah, once you have someone telling you
what number you've got to hit, it's so easy.
But I mean, it's not that complicated, you know, it's just your.
You just go backwards.
Your Thaco.
So thank you all so much. And please, do up your pledges if you have them. If you haven't yet, please subscribe. We're getting close. We're getting close to our The One Ring campaign being unlocked. So
nice.
Very excited about that. And then what's coming up next? What's next on the...
After that, it's Star Wars content. Rob, are you finally going to GM? Are you going to GM some Star Wars?
That would be the plan, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Nice, I love that. I love them narrative dice.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, subscribe on Patreon. Thank you, Sweet Threat, for reminding people. Everyone in the chat, thank you for hanging out.
Thank you.
And coming up next on the next broadcast is... Shadow Dark, thank you, McD. We got Shadow Dark coming up next. That's going to be very exciting and fun. So thank you all very much. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Whitney.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the hosts of True Crime Campfire. We set out to make a true crime podcast we'd want to listen to. We get right to the story. We don't do a lot of extra talking, and when we do, it's usually to roast the short hairs off of some loser, murderer, or scammer. You'll laugh, but only at the people who deserve it.
Like, which serial killer would you most like to shove into a locker?
BTK and his awful poetry. Dude got caught because he didn't understand what a floppy disk was.
We look for the stranger-than-fiction stories, like the case of Patty James, a killer catfish before the internet was even a thing.
Or Howard Walmsley, a sentient wad of damp laundry who convinced his town he'd won the lottery, fleeced local businesses out of thousands, and then became a romance scammer.
We've covered tons of cases you've never heard of. Cults, scammers, killers.
So come find your next great binge. Listen to True Crime Campfire on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Friday.
There are vampires out there. They walk among you, shoulder to shoulder, in the dark. Heading to work, heading home, going to the bar. It's a life just like anyone else's, and I have grown used to it. To the darkness, to the moon, to the taste of blood on my tongue. But vampires are dying out. We are a fading kind, and I am the first one created in so long, and that is a dangerous thing to be. Those who came before me, elders of all stripes, they do not want to see our kind gone, and they will do anything to keep their power. And for myself, and for Grace who created me, that is a sword that hangs above our heads. And the worst person of all carries our secret, and he will use it however he sees fit. Who do you look to when things are at their darkest? From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes, those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.